You're listening to the Stephen Sexton Podcast. This transforming message will activate, elevate, and cultivate you for the next level. For more information on Stephen, go to stephensexton.com. And now, here's Stephen.
Here's the thing. God has made woman both beautiful and foolish. Beautiful that man may love her, and foolish that she may love him. We're going to talk about a few things that I think men want you to know. Potential husbands, they're not here right now for all of you girls, but they called me. And they said, tell her this before we meet. And so we're going to just walk through a few things. First of all, this is just random. I've got like 13, 14 things that I want to share with you. But the first is, guys want girls to know that you need to know who you are, your identity. Your identity. You need to have significance, purpose. You need to know why you're here. You need to know where you're going. You need to know that you matter. Because, and you think, oh, that's a no-brainer. But I can't tell you how many relationships now in the 15, 16 years of ministry that I've seen two young people come together and get married, and this girl is highly, highly, highly insecure. She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know where she's going. And the only reason that she's even happy right now is because there is a guy who is attracted to her, and it is a false, fake, it's a false and fake, it's a manipulative way to get significance. And so when he breaks up, her world goes back to being nothing, insignificant, you know. And so a few things that you have to know is dating and marriage cannot birth being loved, belonging, consistency, competence, a feeling of self-worth. These things cannot be birthed in you by marriage and dating. You have to be that in and of yourself. A guy cannot give these to you. Because here's the thing. If a guy brings these to you, then it is what the Bible talks about, building something on a foundation that will not last. Because indefinitely, listen, you will fall in love with this guy. You will think he's so great. You will seal the deal. You will get married. And when he ticks you off, and he will, you will say words that you didn't think you could say anymore. And you will say them to him. You will use your finger in such a way that is not to point the way, but it's to show him that your middle finger still works, and silently you're telling him what he can do with himself, because you are ticked. And in that, I'm just telling you, if you're not careful, if significance and purpose and prestige and belonging, all of these things come from a romantic, dating, friendship, relationship, then you are setting yourself up for a lot of hurt. Number one, because you've put him in a position that God has to be in your life. And he cannot and will not be able to sustain that. You will be hurt. You will be rejected in your marriage or dating relationship because he can't be those things that you need. God has to be that. God has to be that. The second thing is that, you know, and this is for girl and guy. It's not really just related to girls, but since I'm just talking, is in relationships, we want girls to know that love is a choice, that love is not a feeling. And a lot of times girls happen to experience feelings a whole lot more than guys. And don't make a decision to marry him on a feeling. Make it on a choice. You need to see him good. You need to see him bad. You need to see him at his best and at his worst. And then after all of the things that you've experienced, you choose him. I think it's funny when people want to hurry up and get married, who have no knowledge of each other, but in 3 months they want to get married. Listen, I'm not against that. There have been times that it's worked, but more times it hasn't than it has. And it's different if you've known each other for like 4 years, you've been friends, you kind of know each other, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, you 3 months of dating and you're married. You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, there's things that you're learning, and unless you see them in all attitudes, emotions, adversity, success, you know, maybe you've seen them in a lot of adversity, but you haven't seen them in a lot of success. And when success hits your man, he leaves you behind. You know, when the people are clapping for him, he never points to you. Thank you, thank you. And you're like, hey, babe, how you doing? He was great in adversity, but he wasn't great in success. You need to know all those things. It's a choice. You choose. Tommy Nelson, the senior pastor of Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, says it best. He says, the best way to find your mate is run to the Lord as fast as you can, and then grab the hand of the girl or boy running next to you. Listen, before marriage, opposites attract. After marriage, opposites attack. And that's how it is. You understand what I'm saying? Before marriage, he is everything that you're not. I'm serious, he's funny. I'm funny, he's serious. Oh, he's just so good for me. He's got a plan. And I'm just like, I don't know where I'm going. And he just keeps me right there. Oh, I'm so good for him. We're so good for each other. We just complete each other. I mean, you know, it's just awesome. That's all great till you get married. And that's attracting and that's awesome. But once you get married, everything that you loved about them will annoy the fire out of you. It'll be, how in the world? Are you for real? See, love is blind. And when you get into this relationship, you're not looking at the fact that they cleaned their room. That's your girl. That's your guy. You're not looking at the fact that they know how to manage their money or budget. You're not looking at the fact that they clean their car. You're not looking at any of that because you're lost in love space. You know what I'm saying? You're lost in the galaxy of love. But then once the ring happens and the crowd leaves and you've opened all the cards and you've spent all the Walmart cards, after all of that's done, reality sets in and you're like, my God, you can't clean. Seriously, I have to take the credit card away from you. You are my wife. You are an adult. How in the world have you lived life this long? I saved you from jail. You hear what I'm saying? And so what I'm telling you is love is a choice. Love is a choice. Friendship and dating. I'm telling you, look at me. Girls, you need to know this. Guys, here's what they're looking for when they pick a mate. They're looking for a best friend. They're looking for a lover. They're looking for a partner, and they're looking for a mom. Those four things. They're not looking for a mom first, but they are looking for one. And you need to know that some of you are great in the family environment, but you're going to have to be a best friend, a lover, and a partner. Because that's what a man is looking for. Now, you know, and girls, I'll let Katie tell you the story because she's got all these things that she wants to say and she don't want me to mess it up. But, because I will, I'll tell my version and she'll tell her version and my version's more right. Basically, you want to hear my version, not since the first day she wanted me. And she just kind of got her clutches in me and I was just hard from that point on. No, I'm serious. That's not it. I did a lot of things dumb. I did a lot of things wrong. So if you want a good laugh, you can have her tell you the story. Maybe she'll tell you the next girl meeting or whatever. But you need to know, girls, we want you to know. Those are the things that guys are looking for when they choose someone.
And you need to be able to be those. Dating is not to reveal the one. Dating should not reveal if you're the right one or not the right one. You know, here's the thing. We get into dating for all of these reasons. Like, I'm learning to be married. I'm learning to whatever. Nothing prepares you for marriage. And like, you have to be married to prepare for marriage. It's like babysitting preparing you to be a mom. It's just, you know what I'm saying? They're totally two separate things. Dating is so that you can develop socially. You know what I'm saying? I'm developing some socially. I'm learning how to do this. I'm learning how to be this. I'm learning how to serve. I'm learning how to do. I'm learning how to give in a relationship. And you know, I think and there's two messages that the church can preach on dating. One is God is so big that He, before you were born, He knew your personality. And He has provided someone that you need, and you have a free choice to choose who you want. But God knew who you would naturally be attracted to, and those people are out there. Okay? That's one. The other one is, there is one person, and God, when you were born, before the foundations of the earth, had only one person for you. You have your whole life to find that one person. Here's the thing. I think they're both right. You know what I'm saying? The fact of the matter is, Katie talks about a lot. She talks about her older boyfriend, and I told her, I always laugh at her because I'm like, I'm gonna look him up. I wanna see what he's like. I wanna see how successful he is. I'm like, babe, you know. And so we laugh and we joke about that. I believe that there's one. But when you make the choice to choose the one, that becomes the one. Does that make sense? And so what we've done is, if we're not careful, we'll use this only one scenario to give us a back door for divorce because I didn't find the one. I just didn't find the one. They were probably in Chicago and I was in Missouri, and if I'd have moved there when I was 12, then I probably would have found them. Listen, God put man in the Garden of Eden, and He said, tend it, keep it, and cultivate it. God gave man responsibility. After man handled the responsibility and developed a relationship, not only in responsibility, maturity, and doing what God asked him to do, God provided the next thing in his life. And I believe that God still does that. I believe as you become an adult and learn how to manage your life, your finances, your emotions, your attitudes, all of the things about you, I believe that God will bring in someone else into your life that you can accept or reject, but God will bring them in. And I believe that He does it. I also believe that the enemy wants to try to get you looking for that person before it's time for God to bring them in. Does that make sense? And so there's a lot of personal development on your end that you need to do before you start thinking about if I'm ready or if I'm not ready. Friendship is to have fun. Marry your friend. Marry your friend. Does that make sense? Find a friend that you feel like we can be friends. We can be friends. Not that we just have great chemistry, but we have a great friendship. My wife is my best friend. I am okay that I don't hang out with anybody else as long as I get to hang out with her. We can go on a 6 or 7 hour trip and we can talk and we can do and we talk about everything. And there is nothing that we can't talk about. There's no area that, well, babe, I don't want to discuss that with you. That's personal. There is no personal. Does that make sense? And so the lover friendship mold has to happen, because the lover part of the relationship wants physical intimacy. The friendship part of the marriage wants to tell your friend anything and everything that's going on with your day. Here's what's going on with me. Does that make sense? You want both of those. Listen, another thing that we want to tell you, girls, is learn from life. Learn from life. If men want to tell you, learn from life. And I'm going to tell you how. Your mom, your dad, your authorities, and your friends can teach you something about your relationships. If it's everybody else's fault, then guess what it's going to be when we get married? It's going to be mine. It can't be everybody else's fault. Look at your relationships. Look at your relationship with your dad, girls. And guys, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to just tell you. I'm not talking to you today, but I'm just telling you. If she can't submit to dad, she will never submit to you. If she can't submit to that role, whatever it is, and it may be a mom, it may be a single parent, maybe dad has passed away, maybe dad's not involved, but there is an authority in her life, and what I'm telling you is, if you find her manipulating that authority, if you find her, look at me, if you find her going around that authority, if you find her, that we all deal with authority, and we all have to deal with trying to find what is the right way to handle authority. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm talking about. Where she's kind of had a flesh moment, but she's coming around and y'all are talking it through and she comes to the right answer. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the authority says this and she, or she acts like I don't need people. I don't need people. I'm self-sufficient in and of myself. You need to be looking for that. Because I'm just telling you, in life, does she have long-term friends, guys? If she doesn't have any long-term friends, if she doesn't have a good relationship with her parents, or a father or mother type figure in her life, then what I am telling you is you are about to embark on something that no one has been able to tame. And you're in for a lot of wars. I'm not saying that God can't do great things, and I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't move. I'm just telling you, you better be ready for a fight. Does this make sense? God kind of got quiet in here. hurts and stuff like that. You don't have to necessarily, girls, be totally healed and everything, but you need to be on your way to healing. Does that make sense? You need to be on your way to healing. I need to see that you have had a hurt and you've gone to God and you're overcoming. But I know girls that they have dealt with this issue. And listen, if we're going to take on a life together, at some point in time, I've got to know that we can move on and move past. And some of these things are very hurtful and harmful. And I'm not saying that you'll ever forget. But I'm saying that the wound cannot still be so fresh and so open like it happened yesterday. Because you have to offer something when you come to the marriage. You have to offer something when you come to the relationship. And if you're broken, if you're a bird with a broken wing, then you can't fly. And so what you've done is you've made the man come under you and be that wing for you. But I'm just telling you, he may be strong the first 3 or 4 years, but he'll get tired and then he'll get disgruntled and then he'll get negative and then he'll wonder, this ain't going to work because I'm done carrying you. You're healing. Whatever it is in your life, whatever has been done to you in your life has to begin and has to be started before you enter into a relationship. Does this make sense? Okay. The fourth thing, that was all number three. Listen, girls, we want you to know that if you want us to be your hero, you have to treat us like one. If you want us to be your hero, you have to treat us like one. Don't emasculate your men.
I hear girls just talking. Oh my gosh, they're so macho. Oh my gosh, they're so this. They're so competitive. They're so whatever. Uh-huh. And you want that. You want that. If you don't have that, then you're going to marry this little effeminate man that is okay with life. Does that make sense? And listen, girls, I'm telling you, because you've probably already had a lot of friendships with effeminate men, and they're great to talk to. They can be an awesome bestie. But you know what? The guy that you choose to marry, you want him going out into this rat race, working his butt off so the dude can bring home the bacon. You know what I'm saying? If there's a job opening up in the company, you want him competing for it. You don't want him going, man, I wish I'd do that. Well, that's never me. I'm just going to go home happy with life. You know what I'm saying? You want competitive. You may be disgusted at how he chooses to use his words when he's competitive. But you better choose your battle. Because he blew up on everybody at the card table. He blew up at everybody on the basketball court. He got mad at everybody. You know what I'm saying? He meant stupid, dumb. And you're so, I'm so embarrassed. Oh my God, I'm never going out with you in public again. I'm so, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is. You know, you're going out to eat and the food service is too slow. And he says something. And you're just like, oh my God, show it. And you're praying right now. Oh my God, please, please don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. You know what I'm saying? The car in front of you is going slow and he's just like right on the bumper and you're with him and a guy in a car looks at him and he's like, what? Dude, I will come out of my car going 70 and slap you. And you're like, babe, you're scaring me, babe. I'm just telling you, you want that. Because the hero grabs the sword, jumps over the wall, and kills 10 people. He doesn't go, babe, get him. Does this make sense? You want that. Now, that doesn't give men the license to use their masculinity to beat and bully everyone. But what I'm telling you is you've got to love the fact that if there is a wrong, he wants to right it. If there is a deal, he wants to be the deal sealer. And you love that. You won't love it all the time. You won't love it when he says, we're not doing that. There will be times that you won't love it. But ultimately, we're in a world that looks for heroes. And if you have a husband that you make a hero, then he'll be a father who's a hero. And this culture is in decline because of masculinity. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of the homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. What I'm telling you is, if you want a hero in the home, you better treat him like one. Competition's okay. Competitive's okay. Oh my gosh, you just always have to win. Dig it. Always. Yeah. Does it make sense? Guys, you're like, tell him, man! another thing is girls, we want a woman who will come along and be a teammate and someone who can submit to the leadership. Do not marry a guy just because you have feelings for him. You've got to be able to submit to his leadership. If you can't submit to his leadership, if you don't like where he's taking his life, if you can't look at his decisions and see these decisions are positive and good, listen. You'll always get into preference and principle. You'll always get into, I wouldn't have done it that way. But what you've got to be able to do is back up and go, that's not the way I would have done it, but that way works. And so I can submit, even though I don't understand it fully, I will submit to him because I see in his life that he has a track record of making it work. So you can't say yes to marriage unless you've seen that track record and you can go, all right, there may be a lot of things that we don't know yet. There may be a lot of things that we come up on that we don't have an answer for. But what? Was it? Was that? What? Am I saying something wrong?
No.
Do you need a rebuttal?
No.
You know what I'm saying? But you're going to have to make that decision beforehand, and you need to look at that resume. You know what I'm saying? You need to look at that resume. You know what? They're doing this, they're doing this, they're doing this, they're doing this, they're doing this. Okay. I can hold my feelings back just a second that I start looking at everything else. And then once you're married, listen, girls, it's going to be very easy for you to want to take the reins. It's going to be very easy for you to want to do that. But I'm telling you, for you to be happy, listen to what I'm saying. For you to be happy, you don't want to lead. You can, but both of you will be miserable. And the worst thing is, when you take leadership from a man, you keep taking. You don't want to do that. Listen, obviously, there's so many counterbalances I could talk about this. He's not the Lord over you. He's not like woman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the basic concepts of submitting. And if you're not ready to do that, then you're not ready to fall in love and you're not ready to date. Does this make sense? Okay, another one. Number 6, let's talk about this, communication. Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get wisdom or guidance." Listen, let's talk a little bit. And girls, let me just give you a little man rules, okay? Man rules. Man rules 101. First of all, we're not mind readers. Okay? We are not mind readers. So the fact that you have this idea in your mind, or you have this thing you want to have happen, or you have this thing where you want to move, or this house that you want to have, we're not mind readers. We're not mind readers. And we will never be mind readers. And so you will be frustrated in your life if you expect us to tap into the sensitivity force and automatically know what it is that you're thinking that you did not say. Does that make sense? We don't deal with any other person that way. I never walk up to Mark and go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Hey, bud, how you doing today? Feeling okay? If he says, I'm having a bad day, I say, man, what's going on? How can I help you? But I don't think in my mind he's having a bad day. I think, get over it. What's wrong with you? Get up. What's the deal? You know what I'm saying? And so for you to want us to know what it is you're thinking, never happen ever. Another thing is that learning, these are just man rules. Some of these are fun. But learning to work the toilet seat. Let me tell you this. You're a big girl, you can put down the lid. We don't get mad when it's down. I'm just saying, we don't get mad when it's down. And granted, I can understand there are reasons when it needs to be down. You got young kids, you don't want them to fall in, okay? Got it. But the fact that you fall in because it's not up or down, I can't even understand that. Oh, babe! We have to put it up, you put it down, okay? Man, these are man rules. Listen. ask for what you want because subtle hints do not work with us. Obvious hints do not work with us. Strong hints do not work with us. Just say it. You're kind of hitting around to it. You've been around girls your whole life. And so girls get offended, they get mad, and they break the bestie locket. But what I'm telling you is this. We don't do that. If you don't tell me exactly what you need when you need it, well, I was kind of letting you know. I don't understand any of that. Do you want to go here or do you not want to go here? Oh, I don't really know. What do you want to do? I want to go. Do you want to go? At that point in time, you say, no, I don't want to go. Or yes, I want to go. Does this make sense? Because I know what you're thinking, girls. You're thinking, well, I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to be, right? I don't want to be. What I'm telling you is, listen, we are big boys. We understand that we can't have yes all the time. But I am more frustrated that you had given me a maybe than a no. I can get over a no. I can get over a no. I may pout for 20 minutes. I may be frustrated. I may go out and kick the cat. But I'm going to get over a no. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I cannot get over a maybe. Maybe? Maybe? Where does that... There are no maybe thoughts in my life. It's either yes or no. Okay. Another thing you need to know, we're just talking about communication. For a man, yes and no is a perfectly acceptable answer. Do you want to do that? Yes. No. If you're always wanting more than yes or no, you're going to help us bring it out. Because in our we deal with men all the time, and we say yes, and we say no, and we move on. Yes doesn't need a definition, and no does not need a definition. Yes and no, and we move on. But for women, you need a yes and no definition. What does your yes mean, and why did you say yes? It's just yes. I thought about this. And that was no, and this is yes, and I'm done. But why? Listen, you got to learn how to talk to a man, girls. And we want you to know that in talking to a man, you cut out about 95% of your words and just get to the point. Because honestly, if you're talking longer than a minute, we are not even with you anymore. And see, here's the thing. God knew this about us. That's why he blessed us with excellent recall. You can say, you're not even listening to me. Yeah, we are. Bam! And we're like, gotcha! We have no idea what that meant. We have no idea what we're talking about. But we can recall to you. What I'm saying is, if you want us to hear you more, say less. If you want us to hear you more, say less. And then, here's what you do. Here's what you do. This is how you work men. You say less, and they become interested. And then you say more, and they become interested. And you say more. If you say to a guy, hey, you know, I always wanted to talk to you about, gone, done. But if you say, hey, at some point in time, I need to talk to you. What about? Let's talk right now. What's going on? I mean, because you just awoke the hero in me. There's a problem? You came to the right man. Sit down. Dad is here. You know, but if you start, we are off. We are with you, but we are gone. I'm going to talk. Keep to the point. Say it small. Communication. Don't carry past mistakes, six shooters, where you keep them right here. And every wrong and every thought and every frustration is right there, ready to
I'm ready to get into this argument. I'm ready to, hey, you always, let me tell you. Because here's the thing. The frustrating thing about that is we don't know how to fight that because we can't remember nothing. We start making up stuff. I do that a lot of times with my wife. I'm like, you remember when you, I never did that. Yeah, you did. I mean, I don't keep it. Girls, you're rivers. You keep everything. You remember the first negative comment you made, someone made to you, and you remember the first positive comment. You remember people who, what people were wearing the first day you saw them. We're like, what? I don't even have a category for that in my mind. I don't ever see clothes when I'm just like, hey. I remember the first time we were talking. Oh yeah, you were in the green shirt. It was so fun. It was cool. What? People are telling me all the time what I said. I don't even remember what I said. After I get done with this, I won't remember it. I'm moving on. Don't carry past mistakes that guys make right here. Listen, men will have to go to the cross and gain sensitivity and compassion and not be critical. And you will have to go to the cross and you will have to give up hurts and offenses and misunderstandings. And if you don't do that, marriage will be hard. In conversating, in talking to one another, in having a conversation, you have to keep things topical and not relational. Okay? Girls, we want you to know that. If you say, hey, the light's on, babe, will you turn that off? I'm your boy. But if you say, the light's on again. I every time you walk by, did you leave the light on again? Now we're fighting. There's topical and there's relational. Does it make sense? Don't ever make the issue that you're dealing with in relationships about the incompetence of the person you're with. Handle the detail. Handle the detail. I don't like it when this is said. I don't like it when this is done. But it's not, I don't like you when you do. Because all I heard was you. And that brings out the warrior in me, and I want to fight you, and I want to tell you all the things that you do. Does that make sense? You just wanted to try to help me, but instead, the way you said it, now it wasn't your heart, but the way you said it, brought out a fighter in me, and now it's on. Are y'all getting something from this? Okay. Five levels of connection. I'm just going to walk through this real quick because I've got other things I want to talk about. Intellect, emotional, social, spiritual, physical. All five of those need to be something that you connect on in a relationship. Let's see them again. Intellectual. Will you go turn on the air a little bit? It's starting to get a little hot in here. Intellectual. You listen, if you're a thinker, you don't want to marry someone who's dumb. Okay? You like to talk about things, like to think, like, okay, what's going on with our world? What's going on political? And you're like, man, what do you think about our president? Who is it again? You're like, oh my God, you're an idiot. Okay, make sure that intellectually y'all are compatible. Y'all can connect intellectually. You connect emotionally. You connect socially. That's something you do together. You connect spiritually. What God is sharing with you and what's going on in your life as a Christian, and physically, obviously, a little kissy kiss, a little touchy touch. All right, listen. The next thing we want you to know is, girls, be soft. Be soft. We don't need too strong, rugged, rigid people. Guys want a girl
who is soft. And so, if you're very blunt, you need practice in softness. We want a girl who is soft. I don't want to marry a bear. You know what I'm saying? But you see them. Girl, I mean, just, you want to work on softness. If you're the girl that every time you hug or something, it's like, hey! Listen! Okay? Distance. Personal space. Go in with the, you know what I'm saying? Bring down the tempo a little bit when you pat me. You know what I'm saying? Pat. You know what I'm saying? But it's not, hey! Listen, you may have been raised with brothers, but you ain't marrying them. So what I'm telling you is we're looking for soft. And you have to work on being soft. Soft in your responses. Soft in your whatever. Because the male ego is very fragile. It is. It's very fragile. And if you just say it, then what will happen is you may be done with the experience, but that right there stifled his success. You have to know. You have, the way you say it, you got to be soft. You got to be soft. Another thing, girls, you're going to have to make your man work. Listen, and we want you to know this, because this is a double-edged sword for guys, because we really don't want you to know it, but we need you to know it. Guys are hunters. And if you don't make a guy work, then complacency will set in, he will get bored with you, and he will want something else to hunt. And that's the bottom line. Well, what if he's a Christian? Well, what if all that? I understand all that. But what I'm telling you is the Bible says that the enemy comes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And this is your partner. And I'm just telling you, you got to make him work. In your relationship, in your whatever. And sometimes he doesn't want to work. And so you're making him work. And when he hunts you, you're making him. And so you're not upset when he doesn't give you flowers. You say, babe, you know what? I've been pretty special today. I think I'm needing some flowers. Well, I just want him to think about himself. He's not going to. Because a man is thinking about the task. He's thinking about provision. He's thinking about all of these other things that he's bringing to your life. And he won't know that he's bored till after he's been bored. He won't know that he's in a situation that's kind of, it's just kind of bland. Until one day something stops, something hangs out. And listen, I'm just telling you, girls, there is a lot of responsibility on men to be righteous and to be holy and to have private holy lives. And we are talking about that. But what I'm telling you is you cannot send your man off without being hungry, sexually, emotionally, physically. You can't send him off because no one ever intends for there to be an affair or adultery. No one plans for that. But I'm telling you, when the moms get busy, and you will, if you're a stay-at-home mom, which I think is the best thing, or you're a mom that does bivocational, you work and you do this, whatever you want to do, whatever your household is okay with, life gets busy once you have kids. And all I'm telling you is, if you don't keep it hot and you don't keep it fresh, then you are putting more temptation on your man. Now, ultimately, it's his responsibility. I'm not saying it's yours. But I'm telling you, we are fighting together. And if a man came up and stole your purse, he would not say, you need to deal with that. Does this make sense? And you need to take that same mentality towards him in marriage. Does this make sense? Okay. Let's see. All right, I'm just going to do one more. I've got a few more, but it's getting long. Let's just do one more. Girls, What we want you to know is don't be scared of every man. Let me back up by saying this. Every man has two swords, and I'm just learning this. It's awesome. It's helping me a lot. One sword is the positional power, and one sword is personal power. Girls, what you have to understand is all of our life we've been using that positional sword to carve out an image, a life, prosperity, finances. We have used that sword. We've had people use that sword on us, positional swords. We've had parents use that sword on us. Stay back. That's your place. This is my place. Take an inch. You know, that whole concept, give a kid an inch, they take a mile. The positional sword has been used on us. And now we turn around and we use it on everyone else to try to build and create and demand. And we use that positional sword. What we need you to know is don't be scared of that sword. Remind us when we're using it. Because that positional sword will be the thing that brings money and finances and security and all of these things to your life. But if a man uses the positional sword in his family, it will wound and it will hurt his family. Does that make sense? Because it's controlling, it's dominating. With his kids, it's dominating. With his wife, it's never good enough. And we map out that positional sword. And when you feel like he's coming in with the wrong sword, you need to say, babe, we're all on the same team. We all love each other. And then he'll pick up the other sword, and the other sword is personal power. It's an encourager. It's a motivator. It's compassion. It's sensitivity. It's all of those things. Now, you can be mad and you can fight your because you have a sword too. You can pull that out and both of y'all can be fighting for position in your home, fighting for what's right about the kids, fighting. And before you know it, two swords are flaring every day in the house. Or you can remind him that he has another sword, and it's a sword to build up. It's a sword to encourage. It's a sword that can lead our family. It's a sword that promotes and is positive and speaks encouragement into what God is doing here. And you're the one that will have to remind him, because many times men won't even know that they're using the wrong sword. They'll just be mad. What I want to do is, why are these kids not, what's wrong with you? And we're just using the wrong sword. And if someone will just help us, hey bud, come here. Let me teach you something. Dad was frustrated. Let me show you something. You'll help us, and you'll help marriage. Does this make sense? These are just small concepts that I feel like are important, girls, for you to know.
We hope this podcast has encouraged and motivated you to reach for more. Don't forget to check out Stephen's new book, Be the One, which is now available at stephensexton.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. Thanks for listening. Let's change the world.